Hello, and welcome to IEP Essentials Pro Tips Podcast, brought to you by Learning Essentials. Learning Essentials offers special education-based tutoring in your home by state-certified educators with advanced degrees in all areas of special education. IEP Essentials Pro Tips Podcast brings professionals together to educate and empower families navigating special education needs in the IEP process.
Hi, Eric. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us for our IEP Essentials Pro Tips podcast. And I am excited to have you today because you have a pretty interesting background and story that leads you to being a special needs navigator. Normally, I do read our participants' bio, but I feel like yours is such a touching bio that I would love to hear your input and just your story for everybody so that they can really understand your perspective and what led you to become a special needs navigator.
Sure, Wendy. Thank you for having me. It goes back a ways. In 2012, I was getting ready to retire from the Navy. And as I was starting my transition, my wife developed a sudden illness. She had gotten a flu and then developed a sudden illness that later I discovered was an autoimmune disease, a really rare disease called HLH. I don't know the million-dollar name for it, you know, all the letters. This resulted in her spending a week in EICU, and then I took her off life support. And when she died, my son was 12 years old. My son's on the spectrum. He has an intellectual disability, a few other challenges. So I got a crash course in becoming a dad. While I was active duty Navy, I spent a lot of time deployed, as you might imagine. Included in that was 5 years where I didn't live with them. I would come home every 3 or 4 months to spend 2 or 3 weeks with them and then leave again. So all of that to provide background, by the time my son was 12 years old, I knew very little about how to take care of him or his disability, how to help him with his disability and provide the supports he needed. And on a bigger scale, I didn't even know that there were services outside of whatever my wife and I were getting from the school, so we never bothered to look. When my wife died and I started looking for childcare for a 12-year-old, that was really when I got my first crash course into how difficult it was going to be a single parent of a child with a disability, because there's just not a lot out there for 12-year-olds who can't toilet themselves, who can't do anything for themselves. It's not like you can just go to care.com back in, you know, back then. Maybe you can now, but back then you couldn't. And I started asking people for help, looking for where to go. I ended up with York Montgomery County. They did a great job with me with regards to helping him get into the After All program. But Maryland has an autism waiver that I, by the time I found out about it, with an 8-year waiting list, he was just not going to be eligible for. The other programs like DDA in Maryland and just other services, I could not, it didn't feel like I could get straight answers. This led me into a path where I bounced from job to job over the last 8 years, trying to find a place where I could find a role and help families pick the same resources that I had so much trouble getting a straight answer for. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't find anything where there was a ready-made position for me to say, okay, I'm working with, you know, mom and dad or this family, and I'm telling them what to do and how to do it and where to go. So that led to me starting a company called Special Needs Navigator, which is where we are now. And Special Needs Navigator, the whole reason I founded it was because I think there are enough financial advisors out there. There's enough attorneys out there. There's enough education advocates out there. But there's nobody that I could find who's taking everything they're saying, who's taking what the schools are saying, who's taking what Facebook is saying, and turning around to the family and saying, okay, out of all of these different things that are being told to you, these three things are what you really need to do right now. And you can forget about everything else. And just let's take some of that stress off of your shoulders. Let's clear your plate and let you focus on these three things. And then I'm not going anywhere. I'll help you pick the next three things. So that's what I do. That's why I created Special Needs Navigator.
What an incredible story for you. And, you know, it gives me chills in terms of just as a parent being faced with such adversity and then be able to take that tragedy and flip it in the sense of being able to gift other families. And it is a gift because you're able to help them sift through these mounds of information that's out there. And like you said, you know, you have all different sources of avenues of where support can come from, when to apply for that support, how to apply for that support. And then to be able to take that emotional element that a parent comes to the table with to say, all right, I hear your needs, I hear your concerns, let's sift through, let's prioritize, you know, what are the first three things that you should be doing right now? We do have other items to attack and to get on, but let's take the first three, get you signed up, registered, get you support that you need immediately. And then I'm here as that support for you so that you can come back, we can talk about it and figure out those next steps. Can you just, what makes that special needs navigator different than, say, like you said, somebody that does insurance or somebody that's a social worker or, you know, other type of service provider? What makes coming to you, outside of what you've shared, this amazing gift of being able to sift through mounds of information and help people prioritize, but how does it come back to that terminology of where you came up with the special needs navigator, and how does that make you stand out?
That's a great question, Wendy. When you think about it, every professional is going to serve their clients through the lens of their profession. If you're a carpenter, everything is going to look like a nail, right? If you're a financial advisor, everything, every solution that is going to be brought to you is going to be colored by the lens that is going to have something to do with finance. Is it going to be life insurance? Is it going to be an investment? Something like that. It's going to be colored by that lens. It's not good. That's not bad. It just is what it is. As a special needs navigator, my lens is as a parent. So when I'm helping other parents, I'm not looking at it from a legal standpoint or a financial standpoint. Those are considerations, but my first and foremost thought is, as a fellow parent, what do you need to know? And how can I translate that, what other people may be telling you to do, into a message that will really resonate with you? Because what these other professionals are telling you is incredibly important. But if you're not ready to hear it, or if you're not hearing the right things, because maybe they don't know how to communicate with you in a way that you are open to hearing, and sometimes it's a matter of timing, then all that great information is going to fall on deaf ears and it's not going to go anywhere. Does that help explain?
Yeah. And it's just, you know, that opportunity for you to educate and empower your families, and for you to be able to answer, you know, the who, the what, the when, the why, the how, and help them execute it. And you do share your passion is creating and serving and supporting families by providing them the benefits, resources, and services that are out there. Can you just tell me a little bit about those? Because as you're talking, I think about that analogy of the frog in the boiling water. And sometimes, you know, you're thrusted into a situation as a parent, and it's very overwhelming and it's emotional. And like you said, there's a lot of information and people are telling you typically correct information, but it may not be, the timing may not be right, and how to execute it in the way that it's supposed to be may not be outlined correctly. And so here you are, this frog, and the water's just starting to simmer. And then all of a sudden, when you realize it, it's completely boiling and you're overwhelmed. And so to find somebody that is the special needs navigator that can hear your story and help you go through that is fantastic. And then you share, you know, what are the benefits, resources, and services that are out there? I think is that really comprehensive approach that parents really, really need so that they can truly support their child and then in essence, their whole family system.
Right. And I think benefits are pretty easy. I think most people know what a benefit is. It's your Social Security or your other federal benefits. The resources, that gets a little more cloudy, because what may be a resource for you may not be of any use to somebody else. And so a resource could be, my student needs an educational therapist. Well, my student's not in school anymore. So that educational therapist isn't going to be a resource for the family whose child's out. But if you have somebody who doesn't really understand the nuances, they just know, let's use an ABLE account because I hear this all the time. Your child needs an ABLE account. Well, maybe, but it really depends on where the child is. So that resource, that ABLE account, if you're hearing professionals telling you to get an ABLE account, but you haven't applied for SSI yet, or your child is going to require legal guardianship, can't make any sound financial decisions for themselves, doesn't have any money in your name, maybe an ABLE account isn't the best priority. Maybe a better priority is what's going to happen when you're gone to have somebody else be your child's guardian. And so all that bandwidth and all that mental energy that you're putting into trying to figure out how to set up an ABLE account, how to fund an ABLE account, it's really being misdirected. And it's not because anybody was malicious. I mean, the person that gave you that advice meant well, but they just really didn't understand your situation. And the same thing with services. When you have services out there, in Maryland, the Department of Developmental Disabilities Administration provides services through agencies that will provide residential, vocational, personal supports, and vocational. But if you have a child who does not have an intellectual or developmental disability, maybe they have a learning disability, then telling somebody to apply for DDA isn't going to help them. Does that help kind of explain where the benefits, resources, and services comes in? I mean, I'm not saying I'm the only person out there that can help people connect with benefits, resources, and services, but I am telling you that I have not found anybody else, and I've been looking, who has that same ability to take what somebody is looking for and then not just take them at what they're asking for, because sometimes they don't know what they should be asking for. So you just have to give them that opportunity to talk through what they want. And then you may say, well, I know you're asking for an ABLE account, but really what I think you're telling me you need is to apply for DDA.
And that's really incredibly important because you're right. Oftentimes, parents are not sure what to ask for, or they hear one bit of information that they think this is the answer. But sometimes it can be broader than that, depending on the needs of that individual student and that individual child. So hopefully parents are listening and they think, this is really what I've been looking for. Where should families even start in the process with you, contacting you, you know, and then what is the difference between the time commitment that it takes? And I guess I would imagine that every family is different in terms of some families need just a direction and then they're able to go on and fulfill that. And some may need a little deeper conversation and not hand holding, but just being able to really help walk with them through that journey.
Wendy, the best place to start would be either my website, which is specialneedsnavigator.us, or you can even go to the YouTube channel because I'm creating a lot of content there where if people aren't ready to have a conversation with me, maybe they just want to see what types of things are out there, or they have a question about a certain benefit or something like that, they can get an idea of who I am by going to either the website or the YouTube channel. With regards to my services, I'm working with families in one of three different ways, and each way has an increasing amount of time spent with me. So the first method would be pick my brain, and my categories are using names because this is what people are saying to me. So I'm not trying to come up with fancy names. I'm just saying exactly what people are asking me for. So the pick my brain is your special needs hotline. When you have questions, it's meant to be no more than 30-minute phone call. More often, it should be a quick email, or if I can't solve it in an email, or if it turns into this email that goes back and forth, let's get on a phone for 5-10 minutes. If that's not really the best fit for somebody, we go into the I don't know what I don't know. And that's the special needs roadmap. And this is where most of my families are finding me. They have no idea where to even start. So that's where I sit down with them. I give them that checklist. I make sure that we spend at least an hour going over what's in the checklist so they really understand it. And then I send them off to take care of what they need to take care of. And then the last option is for those families, as you pointed out, sometimes just need more help because they have so many other conflicting priorities. Maybe they have another child who has activities that they have to do, or maybe they're caring for aging parents. There's a lot of reasons why a family may otherwise be able to do a lot of stuff, but their focus may be split, and they just need that extra help to make sure they can follow through on what the recommendations are. And that is the too many options. And it's your special needs guided tour. That's where you're going to get me for a little longer. You're going to get more high touch. You know, I want to be clear, in none of these will I fill out paperwork for people. And I think that's an important distinction, because I have had people ask me if I would help them complete paperwork. That is not something I do. But I will get you all the documents you need. I will show you where to submit them. I just won't do it for you.
I think that's good. A good part to know, right? And that aspect. And I really like how you call it your names for everything, you know, providing a roadmap, providing a guided tour. There's often times that, you know, you go on a trip and you need a roadmap, or sometimes you really need that guided tour. It really just depends on where you are and what your needs are. And so for parents, is there one kind of overarching suggestion that you would put out there, you know, a little low-lying fruit that parents should be thinking of, you know? And I guess, again, that's probably a really complicated, no one answer question, because each family situation is so different, and, you know, and the complexities that come along with each family of you sitting down and helping them kind of express that and hear their story. I don't know if there is one little piece of low-lying fruit, but is there something that kind of keeps coming up over and over again that you're like, I think all families should know?
Yes. And it was brought home even more this. So this year I had cancer and I beat cancer, and it reminded me yet again of my mortality, because, you know, we all need those reminders. Every single family, if they have a child, whether that child has a disability or not, should have an estate plan outlining what's going to happen with the child when they're gone and what they want done with what they own. And they should also have life insurance to provide for their spouse and the child when they're gone. This was a mistake my wife and I made when she died. I didn't have life insurance. And recently, when I got my cancer diagnosis, it was something that I thought really sharply about, because I'm my son's legal guardian. I don't have anybody else in my life. Who's going to step in to be my son's guardian when I'm gone?
Right.
And I realized I hadn't really, I mean, I thought about it. I think we all think about it, but I hadn't done anything to take action on it. So those are the two things: get an estate plan and get insurance to protect yourself.
That's a lot to think about. And I think you're absolutely right there, Eric, in terms of, you know, as parents, we have that in the back of our minds, but we're not really, don't always execute that and know that, oh, we need to get that done. So that's a great reminder for folks to ensure, regardless of their personal situation, that those items are in place in the event that something tragic does happen. And so that does kind of go for the benefit side. Is there a resource that you feel like, or a service that you feel stands out as something that all families could benefit from? And again, that's a really open-ended question, so it's okay to say no. To call you, just call you and sort it all out.
Wow. Yeah. Because there's so many different options depending on the diagnosis. I think what I would do is, if you have a child with a diagnosis, look for what national agency or organization has information about that diagnosis. I mean, so an example of that would be autism. You hear a lot about Autism Speaks. The ARCs around the United States are very good for people with developmental disabilities. So depending on the diagnosis, I think in most cases, you'll find a national organization that will be able to provide you with some resources. And that would be probably my starting point if you're looking for services.
Perfect. So, you know, we've kind of covered a lot of different areas. Is there anything that you want to go further into conversation about?
I just really want to encourage families not to wait. I mean, I say that out loud, and then I think to myself, dude, you know how hard it is to take action, because myself, when my wife died, it still took me a year to get my estate plan done. So I totally get how difficult it is. I totally get it.
Which was going to be my follow-up question, is when should families start reaching out? So the sooner the better, right? To just ensure that things aren't, you know, and again, to kind of reiterate, the idea of having a special needs navigator is really having that person on your team that can help sift out directions to go into, things to think about. And so it doesn't feel as overwhelming. And like you said, even just the fact, although you wouldn't complete paperwork, but to have somebody say, all right, here's the paperwork that you need, and hand that over to you. So that's one less overwhelming step to have to figure out what forms need to be submitted and at what time do they need to be submitted. So that is a treasure within itself.
And I do help, you know, the other night I was working with somebody and they had questions about the DDA forms. I'm happy to answer the questions. You know, if you're reading something and you're like, well, what do they mean by that? I'm happy to the best of my ability to answer those questions.
And what would be your quote unquote typical family that contacts you?
My quote unquote typical family are the families that they're pulling their hair out. They're just overwhelmed. They know they have to do something. They can't seem to get their first foot out the door because they take one step forward and something comes up and now they're taking two steps back. And they just really, they want to overcome inertia. They want to get started moving in a direction. They are absolutely sure once they get started, they'll be able to follow through. It's just really helping them get over that hump because it's so overwhelming and it's so, what do I do first? I mean, I have all these different things I'm supposed to do, and you can almost freeze up, and I'm guilty of this myself. I mean, freezing up because you don't want to make a mistake.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I can understand that. And the terms of just, you have this situation and there's so many layers to it on top of just your normal day of carrying on with your job and keeping your household and just your daily interactions with life. And so this other element can certainly become a feeling of being overwhelmed. And so I really appreciate the name, you know, Special Needs Navigator, and that you can help guide and direct people. What type of skills do you think the Navy comes into play, if any at all, with this venture? I know, you know, just your situation has led you to this passion to come and to help families navigate. Is there anything that you did in the Navy that comes into play?
I do, Wendy. I think the fact I served on submarines where we often had to make decisions with incomplete information, and we often had to make decisions very, very quickly. And very often we were doing what we could without having everything we needed. And that's the life of a special needs parent.
I was going to say that. It sounds very familiar to a lot of families for sure. And in making decisions when sometimes you feel blind in that process. So having a special needs navigator with those decisions and to help you guide and gather and help give additional information makes that process easier for sure. Well, Eric, this has been quite a pleasure. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this?
No, Wendy, this has been fantastic. I want parents to give themselves permission that it's okay if they don't do everything. We're, none of us are perfect. We're gonna make mistakes. I mean, we are forgiving of our children, but we're not as forgiving for ourselves. And I think we need to be more forgiving for ourselves.
That is a great way to end our conversation and allow grace in these decision-making processes, and especially in the times that we are in currently, to know that there are people available and ready to help and guide families is a fantastic opportunity and option, and just to have you on board is incredible. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you for joining us today for our IEP Essentials Pro Tips podcast. To hear more pro tips and find additional IEP essentials, including our IEP webinar, please visit www.learningessentialsedu.com.